Well, listeners, as promised from last week, I've got two incredible Australian musicians, singers, songwriters on the phones with us this evening. We've got Mr. Mark Oates and Matty Zarb. How are you both, boys?
Hey, Phil. Good, good, good. G'day, mate. How are you?
Mate, I'm having a ball. Thank you so much for taking some time to chat with us today and be part of the program. I hope you guys are both doing really, really well. I know COVID's struck a lot of musicians and entertainers in a real hard way, and I hope you guys are not suffering too badly with it all. Unfortunately, you wouldn't be able to do many live gigs, eh?
Yeah, stack of cancellations.
All right. Well, look, the reason why I've got you on the phones today, I want to talk about this great album you've got, which is called Mark Oates and Matty Zarb, and got some incredible music on there, and a lot of fiddle playing from you, Mark. We should have just called this the Mark Oates Collection. There's about four or five tracks on here where you sort of you really are out there in front of everything, aren't you? The red
hair. Yeah, sneaking a tune in at the end of a song and that kind of thing.
Absolutely. Now, before we get on to the album, tell us how you guys got to meet. Like, how did Matty and Mark become, the duo that you've become? Because I've seen you perform, and I love the way you guys have got these sneaky little bits of body language. It's like you've been performing together. You kind of wink and nod and tap your leg, and songs go all over the shop when you're doing it live. Which is brilliant. So how long does it take you to do that? And how long have you been together as a duo? Who wants to answer that, Mark or Matty? Who wants to take the answer to that?
Matty's memory's better than mine, I reckon.
Okay.
Matty? It's a huge story, really. I mean, look, to be honest, 1986, 1987, I joined a band called Tuck It In You in Sydney, and we played down at the Rocks. It was a bush band, and Mark was in that band.
Okay.
And we're just teenagers, really. Just, you know, Mark was 17, I think I was about 20. And it was just fun. We just had so much fun. We both got kicked out of the band a few times and rejoined. And but we've always been mates, and I think musical mates too. It's just that it's always been easy to play music together.
Yep.
We have the same sense of humour, and it's just been a lifetime. I think, if you said from, say, 86, 87, and then in 1990, I disappeared to Queensland, Mark disappeared to Europe, and then it's sort of been a long journey back, but I think we just pick up where we left off, and nothing changed.
Nope.
You know, we still, nothing's really rehearsed. We just, it's just the way it happens, isn't it, really, Mark? You know?
Yeah. You know each other's playing, and it sort of stays with you. And so, I might go for this thing with a slight little hint and a raised eyebrow. I was like, "Oh, look out! Oh, okay, yeah, there it is, boom, and away we go."
Yeah,
kind of thing, and launch into something. So it's kind of fresh all the time. But
it's just the two of you. It's sort of it's because you go and like you might be playing a flat stick fiddle tune or whatever you're playing.
Mm-hmm.
The safety net. It's only just the two of us. So if Mark goes somewhere else, there's every chance I'm only half a bar behind him, bang, we're in there.
Uh-huh.
And I think with the record, you know, that we finally got in and did, we decided that we were just going to try and get as much of the feel of what we do live to happen in the studio. Mm-hmm. So instead of, you know, and that's sort of how it came out and why we didn't go over producing everything, making a band out of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Some of it just... and loads of fun, that's for sure.
Loads of fun. I got to tell you, loads of fun. Absolutely love the album. And as I said, when I first saw you guys live, because this is going back up to, I think, about... When was the acoustic festival? You guys were supposed to play at the acoustic festival and got rained out at Wingham. And then I ended seeing you perform at the Harrington Hotel. And
that was great.
Yes. Remember that? You guys were on the bill at the Wingham Acoustic Festival and it got rained out on the Saturday night after the Round Mountain Girls. And you guys were supposed to finish up on the Sunday, I think, and the whole Sunday was called off. So, and you ended up playing at the Harrington Hotel, and that's when I thought, I want to see these guys play. So I chased you to the hotel, saw you guys play, and I thought, wow, these guys are really sensational. And the fact that it is, to me, it does look sort of unrehearsed and unscripted, but I guess because you're so comfortable with each other and with your instruments, like you said, Matty, if Mark does go somewhere in a bit of a tangent, you're only like a half a beat behind and you just pick it up and follow. It's great. I love it. I really love it. Sensational stuff.
Good fun.
Now, tell us about this album. Like, whose idea was it to put the album together? Was it yours, Mark, or what? You just sort of got...
Both of us, yeah.
Yeah, a bit of a collaboration. You both thought, well, why don't we put these tunes out there for people to listen to? And
we're on... Just to clarify that bit was I've been living on Norfolk Island and Mark came across and we did a couple of gigs at the Jolly Roger we had over there and we just kept thinking, oh, gee, it'd be great when I get back to Australia if we could just get in the studio. So the first thing we did was just set that up and getting there and song choice, we didn't really spend a lot of time labouring on that. It was just, let's just play things that you know, we like playing and give a bit of a cross-section to what it feels like if you're in a room with us, just the two of us. And so, yeah, that was it, really. We didn't really overthink it, did we, Mark? It was sort of...
That's right, yeah.
I was going to ask you the question about song selection because... You've got these beautiful, like, for example, the opening track, Caledonia, which is a really beautiful sort of Celtic, Scottish folk ballad. Absolutely love that. And then, you know, your ending track, If I Were a Swagman. So you've gone from Scotland back to Aussie on this album. So these are the songs, I guess, that you like personally to play and perform, or you think these are the songs that the listeners would want to hear you do?
We're doing what we want to do.
I like that.
Matt wrote that last one. It's just it took ages trying to get him in the right order, thinking, what do we do here? Start with this and then blah, blah, blah. But If I Were a Swagman, Matty's song to finish on is really sweet and it just stays in the head and it's gorgeous. And it sort of wraps up a lot of the album too, I reckon. As you said, that Caledonia is a sweet Scottish tune I've always loved, and I mentioned to Matt, I think he'd like the song and do a great version of it, so that's always been in our repertoire
which he did
for a couple of years there now. So yeah, and then we've sort of gone the bluegrassy Irish stuff.
Yeah, because I was going to ask you about song selection, because you start with Caledonia, you finish with If I Were a Swagman, but then you've got like Redhead Mason, Pepper Bird, Otter's Holt, which is very heavily fiddle based, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I learnt that Paper Bird tune. Mm-hmm. I learnt from a button accordion player called Damien Keeney from County Cavan.
Okay.
A few years ago, and I've always wanted to. I just started playing it with Matt one day, just mucking about, and it just sat in there. It sort of sits with the kind of the feel that we do a few other things in. So sort of snuck it on the end of a song and then launched into another tune. And so when we kind of play in live, I just kind of, oh yeah, boom, feels like this. And I get put it in. Yeah. And it goes bananas.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Look, let's start at the start of the album, shall we, lads? Because I said Caledonia, and then we went to If I Were a Swagman, which is the end of the track, and Redhead Mason's right in the middle of everything. So let's start from the start. Now, Caledonia, it was originally written, when I first heard this, I wasn't sure of this, who actually wrote it. I had to look it up. Dougie McLean, apparently, a Scottish chap, wrote it back in 1977, I think. And... Look, apparently he only wrote this thing in 10 minutes. I mean, have you guys ever done anything in 10 minutes? Because, Manny, I guess you're you're the main songwriter in the duo? Or are any of the...
Yeah, to be honest, the best songs, The Swagman,
yes,
was 15-minute exercise. Like, I remember writing that in one line. I didn't stop. I remember just it falling out and thinking, that's it. And I've not changed one word at all on the arrangement.
It's a brilliant song. It is a brilliant song.
I feel if I labour too much on a song, it's not really, I don't know, it's just not how I do it, you know?
Mm-hmm. So your writing process, you don't sit around and think on things for days and try and make things happen. You just pick up the guitar and strum a few chords and then see where it takes you? Is that how it is for you, Matty?
It's hard to say. It's like, you know, Johnny Denver said one day, did you just reach up and grab them? They're there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I pondered that question many times myself. What is it that, and what frame of mind you got to be in? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I remember a time in Nashville, somebody said to me, oh, we've got to write a song, we've got to write a song together. And I was playing every Wednesday with father and my brother. And I remember looking at him saying, what will we write about? And I said, my grandmother or yours? And he looked at me really black. I was just joking. I didn't realize back then that people do write songs that way.
Yep.
It's just not been my way, you know.
Okay.
And there's method in that. Some great songs have come out of people collaborating, and mine are probably just a bit more personal and part of my life, really.
Okay. So with Caledonia, was it something that, Mark, you said that you really loved the song and you wanted to give it the opportunity for Matty to sing it because you thought, you know, he was going to do a really good take on it. So you really loved the song and introduced it to Matty?
That's right, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my goodness, that's the most beautiful thing ever.
Absolutely.
And it was the second verse. It said, I have moved, I've kept on moving, proven points I've needed proven, lost the friends I've needed losing, but found others on the way.
Yeah.
And I was actually with Mark that day on Norfolk Island, and I can honestly say, having known Mark that long, to have him say to me, hey, this is one of my favourites, I wanted to know what that was.
It is an absolutely gorgeous song. I played it on Sunday and people messaged me immediately and said, wow, what an incredible song. It's so sweet. I actually looked at Dougie's version of it today before I got you guys on the phones. And, I mean, he does it very differently to you with different instruments and so on and so forth. But, look, you've given every ounce of justice to it. That's absolutely for sure. So I think we might get that straight up now. What do you reckon, boys?
Yeah, enjoy.
All right, listeners, we're going to get Caledonia up right now. This is the first track on the album, Matty Zarb and Mark Oates, and we are going to be back straight after that with the boys, and they are going to talk us through the next song on the album, which is called Saturday Night in the Hall. So stick around, listeners, and we'll be back straight after this.
I don't know if you can see the changes that have come over me. These past few days I've been afraid that I might drift away. But I've been telling old stories and singing songs that make me think about where I came from. That's the reason why I seem so far away today. Oh, and let me tell you that I love you, that I think about you all the time. Caledonia, you're calling me, now I'm going home. And if I should become a stranger, you know that it would make me more than sad. Caledonia, you're everything I've ever had. I have moved, I've kept on moving, proven points that I needed proven, lost the friends that I needed losing, found others on the way. And I've kissed the ladies, I've left them crying, stolen dreams, there's no denying. I've traveled far, with conscience flying, somewhere in the wind. Oh, and let me tell you that I love you, that I think about you all the time. Caledonia, you're calling me, now I'm going home. And if I should become a stranger, you know that it would make me more than sad. Caledonia, you're everything I've ever had. Thank you. Now I'm sitting here before the fire, the empty room and a forest choir. The flames that could not get any higher, they're with it now, they've gone. But I'm steady thinking that my way is clear, and I don't know what I'll do tomorrow. When the hands are shaking and the kisses flow, and I will disappear. Oh, and let me tell you that I love you, that I think about you all the time. Caledonia, you're calling me, now I'm going home. And if I should become a stranger, you know that it would make me more than sad. Caledonia, you're everything I've ever had. Oh, let me tell you that I love you, that I think about you all the time. Caledonia, you're calling me, now I'm going home. And if I should become a stranger, you know that it would make me more than sad. Caledonia, you're everything I've ever had.
Okay, well, there you go, listeners. First track on the album, Caledonia. We're back with Mark Oates and Matty Zarb, if you've just joined us. Tell us about the second track. Now, it's called Saturday Night in the Hall. Again, another beautiful song. Now, is this an original?
Yeah.
It's an original, so you wrote this one. Tell us all about this song. What inspired the lyrics for this song, Saturday Night in the Hall? It's a beautiful number, really.
I think if you... Like Mark and I, when we were in our band in the 80s and 90s, we would spend many, many, many gigs out in the bush playing all sorts of little country halls, playing bush dances and things like that.
Right.
And then in my solo career, during I'd be often stuck in an empty old hall by myself, you know, waiting for sound check and wondering what went on in these halls. And then, you know, I'd get an imagination of say, you know, how many marriages, lifetime marriages started in the old days at an old country dance. And that was it, really. It was just as simple as that. And looking at the graffiti in the back of the old doors and some of the old pictures in black and white in the old halls. And, that's about the sum of it, really. Just like a black and white picture in the head, really.
Okay.
And it's lovely. It's a waltz. It's a sweet one.
It is a very sweet song. I'm thinking, is this where you met your lady, Maddie, in a Saturday night in a hall and asked her to come over and have a dance? And
no, not my Leslie. I don't know. It was just when you're painting a picture in your head, and it was like a whole dream and imagination, and imagining what went on in this hall, looking at the old men in their black and white suits and photographs, and I can't even pick the hall.
Yep.
There's a Cranback Hall up here near Taree is a good example. And I know Mark's played thousands of them. You know that scene. Any people who've ever walked into an empty old country hall would have to have that emotion of what's going on here, you know?
Yeah. It's a gorgeous song. I mean, I absolutely love the entire lot, even just the instrumental stuff, you know, but... to start it with those first two tracks is definitely a good way to start the album, Caledonia and Saturday Night in the Hall, which I think we should get that straight up now, lads.
Excellent.
All right, listeners, this is the second track on the album, Saturday Night in the Hall. Stick around and we'll be back with Mark Oates and Matty again straight after that.
Would you you dance with me, darling, this evening? Would you lay your head close to my chest? We can make space right here in the kitchen, 'cause it's here that my memories are best. I'll hum you a tune you can dance to. 1, 2, 3, round on the floor. I remember the first dance I went to on a Saturday night in the hall. And I'll never forget when I saw you in your best Sunday dress by the wall. And I thank God for the day that I met you. So dance with me, darling, once more. See in your eyes you're tired, but your skin's still as smooth as the silk, as the ribbons that tied back your hair, dear, on that Saturday night in the hall. And I hope that you think I'm still handsome, though the years have put lines on my face. But these old feet are still good for dancing and waltzing all around this old place. I'll give you a daisy, a day, dear. I'll swing you right round on the floor. And I thank God for the first time I kissed you on that Saturday night in the hall. And I'll hum you a tune we can dance to. 1, 2, 3, round on the floor. And I thank God for the day that I met you. So dance with me, darling, once more. In your best Sunday dress when I kissed you on that Saturday night in the hall.
We're back. We're back with the boys, Matty and Mark. Now, lads, Diamantina Drover. This is a cover version. It's been done by so many different people, men and women in the Australian country music industry. Like, I know, for example, Johnny Williamson's done it, and it was written, of course, by Red Gum. What made you choose Diamantina Drover?
Probably one of the first songs we ever played together, wasn't it, Mark?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it goes back that far as to it was in the repertoire of the band we were playing in, and back then, as Mark said, it was a new song then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We were playing it at the same time it was probably released, and I think we wanted to delve into some of that part of who we were and where we came from.
Okay.
And I think Mark would have to agree, you know, like it is a beautiful. It paints those pictures again, you know.
It does, which is so typical of a lot of these Australian, you know, ballads. I guess they do. They really paint a picture with words in your mind, don't they?
Yeah.
And this particular song, it was written by Hugh McDonald from Red Gum. Now he's the fiddle player and the singer. It was back in the mid-80s, I think. So coincidental, Mark, that you've been the fiddle player that. You got to play on this particular track? Is that why you guys, like you said, it's the first song you played together? And this is going back to the 80s. So, goodness me, you guys have been playing together for, wow, a long time. So the fiddle playing in it for you, it came easy, I guess, Mark?
Oh, just because it's a sweet song, you just you feel like colouring in kind of thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's great. Yeah, his solo on the original, the Ripper. It's great
on the original track.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, Yeah. Actually, the first time I heard it, I must confess, I wasn't into this style of music. I'm more into the Australian hard rock scene, do you know what I mean? But I guess by being in radio now, I'm starting to learn so much about different styles of music. First time I heard it, I actually thought John Williamson had wrote it. I didn't realise it went back to the... or written the song. I didn't realise it went back to the 80s with Red Gum. And then I've heard so many different singers perform the song. I was very confused. I had to actually look it up. And then I realised it was Red Gum, because the only thing I knew of Red Gum was probably, you know, I was only 19. I wasn't a huge Red Gum fan at all. But, gosh, they've wrote some great music. They wrote some great stuff.
Great one, yeah.
Is there any of their other music that you guys perform like Red Gum, or is it just this one because it really sort of comes home, the message?
That's the only one that kind of stuck out. Like, boom, went... That just as a song itself, not like, oh, we'll do a Red Gun song.
No, no, just the song itself.
Great.
Yeah. All right. Fantastic. Well, I'm going to get that straight up right now, listeners. The song is called Diamantina Drover. You'll know it. It's been sung by a lot of different people. And we are chatting with Mark Oates and Matty Zarb about their latest album. Stick around and we'll be back with them shortly.
Faces in the photograph have faded, and I can't believe he looks so much like me. For it's been 10 years today since I left old Cork Station, saying I won't be back till the droving's done. For the rain never falls on a dusty Diamantina. The drover finds it hard to change his mind. For the years have surely gone like a trace from old Cork Station, and I won't be back till the droving's done. Well, it seems like, well, the sun comes up each morning, sets me up and then takes it all away. For the dreaming by the light of the campfire at night ends with the burning light of day. For the rain never falls on the dusty Diamantina. The drover finds it hard to change his mind. For the years have surely gone like the drays from old Cork Station, and I won't be back till the droving's done. Sometimes think, well, I'll settle back in Sydney. But it's been so long and it's hard to change your mind. For the cattle trail goes on, and the fences roll forever, and I won't be back till the droving's done. For the rain never falls on a dusty Diamantina. The drover finds it hard to change. change his mind. For the years have surely gone, like the drays from old Cork Station, and I won't be back till the droving's done. For the rain never falls on a dusty diamantino, the drover finds it hard to change his mind. For the years have surely gone, like the drays from old Cork Station, and I won't be back till the droving's done. And I won't be back till the droving's done.
All right, now we're into the fiddle stuff, boys. The fiddling playing. The Red-Haired Mason. Now, this would have to be a track that you wanted on the album, Mark?
Yeah, well, May's always been playing the Red-Haired Boy, the first half of the tune that we sort of squashed in together.
Mm-hmm.
It's great, like flat-picking kind of thing. I've heard it as a fiddle tune. It's got the bluegrass call it Red-Haired Boy, and the Irish play it and call it the Jolly Beggar Man. It's basically the same tune.
Mm-hmm.
So the Irish kind of do it in G, mm-hmm. and then in A it's more of a bluegrassy tune.
Right.
So Matt's been belting that one out, just sitting around, just jamming and playing. And it's like, oh, we have to put that in. So we often sort of start a night with that. It just, boom, it's kind of, it goes with a, it's got a thud. And then we chuck another tune in on the end of it and then come back together and play harmonies on it. That's great fun. It works as a little set.
It sure as hell does pack a thud, doesn't it? You've hit the nail on the head there. So you normally would open with this song?
Oh, I do, yeah.
Yeah, because
yeah, I just shut them up.
Because I'm thinking, well, this is the sort of tune you think, oh, some guy's fallen asleep over there in the corner. Let's wake him up. Let's give him a big thud with a... You start out with that, and it'd be like, "Wow, what are they going to finish with?" So you take them to it. You take them to the height right from the get go, and then you sort of wind them down toward the end of the performance.
Depends on the gig, yeah, but yeah. We do sometimes, yeah. I think in a concert situation, it's fun because it just goes whack, you know. It's easy to fun, but yeah. But the thing is, if you jump in and you think, "Oh, geez, I've got to hang on here," yeah.
It is an incredibly fast, hard fiddling track. Like, did it? How long did it take you guys to put this together? This wouldn't have been a 5-minute rehearsal, surely. Or do you just, because you know each other so well, like the first time you played it, how did it feel the first time?
Well, the Mason's Apron we played back in the day, didn't we, mate?
Yeah. Did we play that tune as well? I can't remember.
Yeah, Mason's Apron we did. Mm-hmm. And then
yeah, but Redhead Boy, I can't remember.
No, we didn't do Redhead Boy. I think Redhead Boy was part of one of the fiddle tunes that we used to do.
I have another set, wasn't it?
Yeah, from another set, and I just always loved the tune, and so yeah, it just sort of fell together. But it's heaps of fun, totally. Oh, heaps of crap.
It's a sensational piece of music, I've got to tell you. This is going to be a bit of a culture shock for some of my listeners because they're wanting to hear things like AC/DC's, you know, Highway to Hell, and then I'm going to play them a fiddle-picking guitar.
This is the instrumental version of it.
Pardon? Yeah. This is the
instrumental version of that one.
Okay.
That's an A anyway.
Oh, look, it's a great track, I've got to tell you. It's every bit as good as The Devil Went Down to Georgia. In fact, I think it's a much better rendition on the fiddle than that fella who does that number. So let's get it up. The Red-Haired Mason, listeners, and this is from Mark Oates and Matty Zarb's latest album. Stick around. We're going to be back with more. The next track we're going to talk about is a number called Paper Bird and Otter's Holt. We'll be back straight after this. Thank you. Okay, now this is another fiddle track, Mark. Was this one of your selections, or Matty, did you say, hey, let's do another fiddle track for this album?
I just play whatever Mark wants. I love it. I love all the tunes he plays.
Really?
Yeah, we thought we'd chuck them. Well, we've only got two tune sets in it, sort of. Oh, there's another one as well.
Oh, yeah, no, there's a couple in here. I'm just
harp
looking.
Harp and fiddle.
You've got the harp and fiddle, which that's the next one, which we haven't got to that yet. That's a great track, and that's an unusual sort of the way that track starts. But we won't talk about that. Paper Bird, Otter's Holt. So where does this originate from? Is this, again, another old... Because I don't know much about it. Is it another old sort of Celtic-style track that's been around forever, or where did it...
Not forever. I can't remember the fellow who wrote it, but I learned it, as I said, of a friend of mine in County Cavan who was out here doing some gigs around the place, an Irish travelling dance show.
Mm-hmm.
So he played too, and this has always stuck in my head. I never really played anywhere, and then sort of launched into it with Matty there and going, this is a nice feel for this gig that we're doing. And then the Otter's Holt is a fast little reel. So I played that for a while as well now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it starts off slow and funky kind of thing, and then boom, into this other little one. So good fun set as well.
So
between the ballads, you know.
Yes, yes. So I know you guys kind of do change things on stage together when you're performing. Matty, has Mark ever just sort of gone off in some very strange direction musically? Because he does have a really strange sense of humour at times. And you're just sitting there thinking, oh, my God, where do I go from here? Or does it he just follow naturally?
Every gig.
Every gig. Every gig.
Yeah, no, and I think that's the fun bit, you know. Like, I think we try and write a set list, and honestly,
we do try.
Yeah, we start square and finish somewhere else, you know. And I think that's the most fun thing for me. I think it's fresh. I think knowing someone so well musically, but then being such good mates, and then also I know that Mark might go, hang on, you know, bang A, and I know the jump into the key. I might not be quite sure of the song or the tune, but by, like, most fiddle tunes have got an A part and a B part. By the time he's done one lap, usually I'm behind what he's doing. But and that's the fun bit, you know. I think that's the most exciting bit of the gig for me is that I don't know always where Mark's going to go.
But you generally know the tune coming up, but it might be a different one. And then as soon as we start, it's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're in.
So you don't...
And then, you know, have fun.
You don't sit there like, and do you do that to him, Matty, as well? Do you sort of throw something in his direction and he might be thinking, oh, hang on a sec, I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, every gig.
So you...
That's what makes it live. It's great.
So you do it to each other, and you don't sort of end up thinking, crikeys, why did you do that to me?
No, you don't plan it. But, I mean, obviously we're thinking musically where we're going to go, and you know, sometimes we'll just change key and keep rolling where we're going, you know, and end up where else we could. And I think that's the most fun part of it, and keeps it live and exciting all the time.
Absolutely. It's not really that structured then. So you said you try to work out a set list, but then you just, all you really want to do is play music and have fun by the sound of it and keep the audience happy. And a lot of the people in the audience probably wouldn't even have a clue what's going on. They're just so into it and enjoying it.
Yeah, I think that's the whole experience, really.
Uh-huh.
Everyone just getting on together and having fun. And, you know, sometimes you might have a bit of a train wreck somewhere in the middle, but you just pick it up and keep going.
A train wreck in the middle. I love that. All right, listeners. Well, this is definitely not a train wreck in the middle. Paper Bird and Otter's Holt. That's going to come up right now.
Thank you.
Okay, listeners, we are back with Mark Oates and Matty Zarb, and they're talking us through their latest album. And the track we are up to is Harp and Fiddle Thing. Now, this song, when I first heard it, I thought, I know this tune, but I've never heard it played on a harp, a mouth organ, harmonica. It's Amazing Grace, is it not?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
Amazing. And I've thought, I know the tune, and it was in my head, and I'm thinking, now, what is this? But then by the time, you know, it had been going for about 30 seconds, I thought, this is Amazing Grace being played on a harmonica. I've never heard that before. I know you play the harmonica, Matty. Was that your idea?
I always played that on harmonica. I always loved the melody on that. And
mm-hmm.
I had a great mate of mine. He's not with us anymore. His name is Andre Ord. And we both lost a talent quest on the Gold Coast in the early 90s. And we're both broke, and he got up and sang Amazing Grace, and I thought, gee, if I could ever sing like him or play like him, I'd do it like that. So if you could imagine a guy that could sing,
yes,
emulating what he sang and how he sang. So that's how it goes. And I was just learning harmonica at the time, so I thought, I'll never sing like him. I'll try and play what he sang. So,
wow. Okay. Hmm. Okay. Well, it's not an easy song to sing, that's for sure.
No. You know, there's some great instrumental versions of things for blokes like me, I tell you.
Okay. So it's a harp and fiddle thing. It's the harmonica and, of course, Mark on the fiddle and you doing your thing on the guitar. So it's another instrumental. Now, we've got Amazing Grace to start it off, and what about the other bits in the middle? Was that something you did, or was that a song something that I'm not familiar with?
Can you hear the cheeky little bit in the middle? It's by Spectrum. Someday I'll Have Money.
Really?
Enough of it that you get. There's just that little Aussie little snap in the middle.
Yes.
Of that instrumental, which I just loved. I thought, how come I not chuck that in there?
Uh-huh.
And I remember feeling guilty about it, so I rang Phil, I can't bring his name from Spectrum. I got in contact with him years back and said, look, mate, I can't help it. I've got to play this in song. I've recorded it, and I want to record it. He goes, mate, go for it. Just do what you want.
Oh, really? Wow.
So it's a long time, yeah.
Yeah.
It was more just a real how can I say it, a thumbs up to something a little bit Aussie in the middle of it. You know?
Look, I didn't even know that was in there. I got to tell you, I listened to the track a couple of times. I heard Amazing Grace, and that's odd for me because I know Spectrum's music. So I'm really going to have to listen hard at that. And I'm going to challenge my listeners to see if they can't. I'll play it on my on my regular program in a couple of weeks, and I won't mention it, and I'll see if anybody can guess what's in it. I think it's a great little number. Harp and Fiddle Thing, listeners, is coming straight up at you right now from Mark Oates and Matty Zarb, and we'll be back with more of their album straight after this. Oh. All righty, boys. We are now back with, oh, how do I pronounce this? Oshoken Farewell? Did I say that right? Oshoken?
Yeah.
Oshoken Farewell. Now, this is another fiddle track, a very heavily based fiddle track. So whose Mark. Idea was this?
Mark.
Mark?
Beautiful. Yeah, it's a sweet tune. A lot of people played it now. There's a American fiddle player called Jay Unger who wrote it
okay.
in 1986.
Uh-huh.
And his whole family play, and they all play fiddles on it. And it's just sweet. It sounds like 100 years old, but it is not, you know. It's basically when Matt and I started playing together, it was written then. It's haunting, beautiful little piece. We used to call it Ashokan Farewell, and then only after, you know, the internet and YouTube, and then people call it the Ashokan.
Okay.
So I think it's actually Ashokan, but for 20 years we call it Ashokan.
Okay.
Anyway, there was a festival, the Ashokan Festival, and at the end, so Jay Unger, the guy who composed it, was there for the weekend, and then it's like the day after everyone's leaving, and he was a bit sad and melancholy, and this tune sort of came out then.
Really?
So he just composed the tune then, just a bit, you know, reflecting on the weekend, and it's a cracker.
It is a beautiful piece. Beautiful piece. Beautiful piece.
Yeah.
Amazing stuff. So what about you, Matty, when he wants to play these sweet, you know, violin pieces? Because obviously, Mark, you play anything. You're playing with Round Mountain Girls too, and they're not way miles away from this type of stuff, aren't they, when you play with them?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and you also do your own stuff with Irish pub bands and stuff when the gigs are playing. So for you, Matty, what's it like for you to play with somebody like Mark who can just play so many different styles on a violin? From these sweet numbers to these real toe-tapping, like the Red-Haired Mason, for example. They're light years apart as far as musically.
Well, I guess, you know, Mark and I are very similar. I mean, we all love the hectic stuff, but there's nothing more beautiful than playing something so sweet as something like Ashokan or Caledonia or any of these pieces that they make your head swim, and I guess I'll always look for a pretty note in anything, you know. So when Mark plays, and then we were playing that back there in the 80s.
Really?
And I guess that, it just always makes me feel good, that sort of music. It's just beautiful.
Okay.
I'm a huge classical freak, so, you know, I guess I couldn't separate Mozart from Led Zeppelin, really.
Mm-hmm.
I love it all. and so if you get a tune like Ashokan, and you sit down with that, it's like a free meditation.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice, yeah.
That's very, you put that very, very nicely, Matty, very eloquently. I love that. Listeners.
Oh, but it's an elegant piece of music. I mean, and Mark plays it so beautifully. There's one note in the middle there, Mark. Oh, no, I think I said it when we were recording it, that it's the whole thing, you know. But anyway, you guys will get it when you hear it, but I never tire of it, ever.
Absolutely. And I don't think my listeners will either. We're going to put that straight up right now for you boys. Ashokan Farewell. Thank you. Okay, now we are back with a vocal track. It's Old Joe Clark. Now, this is an original, I'm assuming, Matty?
Old Joe Clark.
Yes.
Old Joe. No, it's not actually. I had, when we used to have tapes.
Yeah, oh, okay. I thought this was original. Yeah, go on.
I was handed a tape with Sam Bush, a mandolin player from Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Right.
And he didn't actually write it either. It's actually older than that.
Okay.
So the actual tune, the melody of Joe Clark, is an old banjo fiddle tune, which is similar. You hear it in the signature of the tune.
Yes.
But it's sort of a new age version of that. But the words were put together by I can't think of his name offhand. But my love for it was by Sam Bush, who played it on mandolin.
Yes.
And I just loved the story, and I used to sing it back then, and I always wanted to record it, I suppose. And when Mark and I rejoined up, it was like one of these songs I thought, right, we've just got to play this. I think from the very first time we played it together, Mark, it was like, yeah. Oh, God, do that again. And but it's a terrific song. It's something else. If you've not heard it, and I actually encourage people when we play it live, say, if you've not heard this, good. There's nothing like hearing something new, you know.
I hadn't heard it. I assumed it was an original because I've not heard it before.
Quirky little left of center song that lives in the hills.
Okay. So how far does it date back? Do you just approximate how old do you think the song is? Because as I said, I'd not heard it. I thought it was definitely an original.
Hey, Mark, the fiddle tune would be 100 years old or more, wouldn't it?
I'd say so, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, words came in maybe the 70s or 80s. Someone put a bit of a story to it, but it didn't really go anywhere. It's a bit, you'll find it in online, different people playing it in bluegrass now that we can see online with lots of people doing it.
Yes.
But the version we do is pretty, I could say, the convict version of it, definitely. It's a bit more, I guess we play a bit more hard edge on the way we do it, but it's still a cracking song. It's amazing.
It is an amazing song. It's an amazing album, I've got to tell you guys. And we've only got two songs to go, so we're going to get this one up straight now, listeners. It's called Old Joe Clark. Stick around, and we'll be back with more of Matty and Mark straight after this.
Well, old Joe Clark, he made his mark when cotton was a king. Late at night in the pale moonlight, you could hear that banjo ring. It would ring out for the masters listening on the hill. Ring out for the babies sleeping quiet and still. Round and around, old Joe Clark, round and around, I say. Round and around, old Joe Clark, till the break of day. When he came up from the belly of the ship of slavery, he was holding to his banjo, but it was not on his knee. Then someone said, hey, here's a strong one, he can entertain. You can keep your banjo, but Clark will be your name. Round and around, old Joe Clark, round and around, I say. Round and around, old Joe Clark, till the break of day, singing. Round and round, old Joe Clark. Round and round, old Joe. Round and round, old Joe Clark. Round and round. to play the melodies of Cork and County Clare. He even played for Lincoln once down on the courthouse stairs. Then they took him to New Orleans and they called it Dixieland. But everywhere that old Joe went, he was still a hired hand. Round and around old Joe Clark, round and around I say. Round and around old Joe Clark till the break of day. Singing round and around old Joe Clark, round and around I say. Round and around old Joe Clark till the break of day. Yeah. Round and round old Joe Clark, round and round old Joe, round and round old Joe Clark, round and round. Woo!
Now, this song next, guys, where do you go? Absolutely love this slide playing. And that's, of course, done by you, Matty. With an acoustic guitar playing, it's slide you're doing, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, sounds absolutely brilliant because you don't play, well, I mean, you play an acoustic, but which is amplified, as far as I know. It's an electric acoustic, but it's not like you're ripping this out on a Fed Income electric guitar. What made you want to play slide? Because the style of stuff you do doesn't normally do, you don't normally do that much slide.
I've always loved it.
Yep.
I just love it. I'm not a great slide player in the book of things, like, I always like the Greg Ormonds or the Dickie Betts or, any sort of Derek Trucks or, even Minnie Marks, our little Minnie Marks.
Oh, Minnie's, yeah, she's incredible.
She's off the wall. I mean, I guess I just wrote it, I'd use it as a tool, but I love that slinky sound of a slide.
It's great.
And the song was just probably the most miserable thing I ever wrote in my life.
Yes.
But it was fun. I guess when you're writing something, it could be not in a good way. But then sometimes, that's your medicine. That's what gets you out of the doldrums, writing a song. And then, someone says, gee, I like that song. You think, geez, it's a sad song. But I guess you can't laugh hard if you didn't cry hard, You've got to have it all.
It's a darn good song. And you wrote that. So that wasn't a 10-minute track, surely.
Oh yeah, it was.
Really?
Goodness. Oh yeah, I think it's just, if you're going to pen something, I think, and there's songwriters out there that'll understand that, I suppose.
Yep.
If you're writing a poem, or if you're just telling a story, if you started telling a story, just so I explain to people, and the story's fluid and it just comes out all in one sentence, then it's pretty much like that. It's just that's the way it falls out, I think.
Wow. Incredible stuff. Incredible stuff. And again, a credit to Mark's fantastic fiddle playing on it as well.
Oh, yeah, technique. Yeah, it's awesome. It's good fun.
Absolutely brilliant stuff. All right, let's get it up, listeners. Where do you go? It is Mark Oates, Matty Zarb. We've got one track to go that talked us through the entire album. And we'll be back with it straight after this.
Where do you go when there's no place to go? Where do you hide when there's no place to hide? Where do you run to when you finish running? Well, a big old moon hangs in the sky, and I think to myself, my brothers and I. Well, is it all upside down here? Is it downside up? When you wanna fly, when you wanna get high, sail a clear blue sky and tell them all goodbye. Through the eyes of a child, I want an old man's gaze. Home, where you hang your hat. You can play the guitar, what you think about that? You can fly over mountains, sing a lullaby. When you finish running, you can ride the train, sail a clear blue sky, and tell them all goodbye. Through the mind of a child, I want an old man's gaze. Where do you go when there's no place to go?
Okay, so the last track on the album, If I Were a Swagman, and that's, of course, got a little bit of Waltzing Matilda in there and a few other things. Where did this song come from?
I'd been away for 7 years in Kentucky and came back, and I was at a gig on Branson Island, and we'd sung The Gambler 3 times. And I realised I was drunk.
Three times?
Yeah, everyone was drunk, singing The Gambler, and me included.
Uh-huh.
I thought, oh, well. And I'd been doing festivals in the States, and I was back, and I thought, wow. And it was such a beautiful day. And I ended up having too many beers, and it was one of those nights. But I ran back to the hotel with these starts of the song in my head, and I wrote down the first couple of verses. And then I just stayed there until I'd written it down.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came back the next morning and found the whole bit of paper.
Oh, wow.
And that's how, and I've never changed anything. And I think people say to me, what's your favourite song? I'd probably say this one, for me, does it the most, because it probably paints a picture of being Australian and being at the mercy of the squatter many times. And, you know, I think we all relate to Waltzing Matilda. We all relate to being who we are.
Yes.
And Australia's a big place, and we're lucky to live here.
Mm.
And, yeah, so it's just – and it tied up the rest of the end of the record, yeah, like Mark said, you know. And I guess, you know, sharing these songs with Mark, there's no one more that I want to share them with than him because of our history and where we came from with them musically, and then to be able to – tie it up together and be together and play together now, and And even if we don't play together for ages by COVID, I know the next time we sit down and play, it's going to be the same. You know?
Wow. Okay.
I mean, I don't know. You know, Mark, you know, I guess you'd be saying the same with the record. It was just, it just all sort of fell together.
Yeah.
So
captures what we do.
You said you didn't do a lot of heavy sort of processing or anything on it, and some of it sounds very raw. That's exactly how you wanted to feel. It was just, so would you call it like a really good jam session with a really good mate that happened to get recorded in a studio?
Yeah, with Jake Davey. You know Jake Davey?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Yeah, Jake produced this for us, and we just got in there and did a few sessions, didn't we, Mark? It was just like,
yeah. He's great to work with, yeah. Perfect.
So any sign of another Mark Oates and Matty Zarb album on the future?
Sure. Well, it won't get together. Sure.
Well, I mean, yeah, of course, obviously, but you can't.
Spotify, I think.
Pardon?
I think there's every chance,
yep.
For sure.
Okay.
And I think, you know, we evolve into different things in your life. And, you know, I guess we're just, you know, we're lucky enough to do what we do and be the ages we're at and doing it.
Why did you just call the album Mark Oates, Matty Zarb?
Because it's what our mums called us.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, that makes sense. I guess I'm just thinking, you know, most people give an album a name, but you've just called it your names, Mark Oates, Matty Zarb. So if you if in the future, like you decided to, obviously COVID-related, you decided to get in the studio and do something again, would it be like Mark Oates, Matty Zarb 2 and
number 2,
yeah, like Led Zeppelin, and then you get to 4, and then you'd start giving them names.
I think we
see how we go.
Mark Oates and Matty Zarb 2.
Mark Oates and Matty Zarb 2. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Fantastic. Well, guys, I love the album, and I'm not just saying that. The songs that you've selected, I don't know why you put them in the order you put them in. I guess that's the way you felt them, especially after Mark said, we normally hit him with a red-haired Mason right between the eyes right on the first track. But, you know, you started out with a beautiful, as we said right at the start, a beautiful Scottish Celtic ballad. You're finishing up with an Australian ballad, and then you got all this harder stuff in the middle. So it's really great. I love it. I hope the listeners I hope the listeners get into it. I mean, we'll put it on the program. We're going to have it as the album in review, so anybody can listen to it. I guess the sad part is that, you know, they can't buy it, can they? Really? Or do you sell them at gigs? How do they get your music if they wanted to buy a hard copy rather than go onto one of the platforms? What's the best thing? Do you have hard copies of it?
Yeah, you got to be point of sale, really, to do that. I mean, people, you know, even though they can go to the platforms to do it.
Yep.
If you're playing a festival, Mark, people come and they'll come and buy your CD.
Yep.
Most of them haven't got CD players, but they'll still buy them.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's just the way things are going. I don't complain about it. I know Mark's the same. You just get on and be, you know, thankful. I mean, people go to different platforms to hear your music, and That's good, as long as they can hear it. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, I do remember the last time you and I spoke, Matty, you said the most important thing is for you to get your music out there, and you sort of said, I don't care if I make a cent, I just want the people to be hearing the music. And
as long as they can hear it.
As long as they
can hear it. And, yeah, what they can't hear, though, Phil, is this. They can't hear what they can't hear, which is different to, I guess, you know, a podcast.
Yep.
But when you hear a record, you can listen to it, but you don't get the backstories, you know, so it's not to be able to, you know, just chat randomly with Mark and you and talk about it.
Yep.
And
right, yeah.
Well, it's important for me. It's important for me because I am one of those people that really do like to hear the backstories behind the songs. Yeah, like you said, Matty, it's easy that you can go out, you can buy it, you can download it, you can listen to the songs, but all you're listening to is the songs. To be able to hear what inspired that song or the story, like you said, you were in America and you were over there and you come back to Australia after 7 years and grateful to be living in this country. And I guess, you know, if you were a swagman, so at that point in your life, you probably felt like one, I guess.
dead right.
I think so. Have I got it right?
I think you're dead right. You're right on the money, yeah. I think we're all. Mark's the same. How many years would you be overseas, Mark? Years. You know, different countries, Spain and England, Ireland, and Europe all that time.
But you still always call Australia home, Mark?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, right. Definitely. So maybe on Mark Oates Manny Zarb 2, we'll have I Still Call Australia Home. How would that be? You got that first. You got that from me, okay. And if it makes $1 million, don't forget my 0.0.01% whatever some of these artists are getting paid today, which is pretty sad for what you guys.
Maybe that's what Red Gum were doing when they go. I've been to Bali too. I could still call Australia home too.
You could.
Next album.
I'd buy that, and I reckon if you did signed photograph of you wearing a kilt or something. Mark, you'd probably sell 10 times more copies.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe not.
Thanks for the chat.
All right, lads. Well, listen, thank you so much for taking the time, talking us through this album.
If I were a swagman, I'd camp by a billabong. Under the shade of a coolabah tree, I'd play my guitar and the critters would sing along. We'd sing You Come a Waltzing Matilda with me. But if I were a swagman, I'd sit by my fire. I'd check out the stars until I would tire, and I'd lay my head down and I'd dream I could see dear Rosie Matilda is dancing with me. Well, if I were a swagman, I'd wander away, far away from the cities and towns I would stray, far away from the highways, do everything my way, and I'd wait for my billy to boil. Well, if I were the squatter and the jumbuck were mine, I'd call off the troopers and I'd be far more kind to the swaggy that wanders alone on the land. Sometimes you just don't understand that the swagman that jumped in the old billabong and waltzed his Matilda and sang his own song to the tune of the magpie and the old currawong in the shade of a coolabah tree. Well, he may have been looking at me. I'm somebody's daughter and I'm somebody's son, with nowhere to hide and nowhere to run in this crazy old world that's come all undone. So pack up your swags, come waltz your Matilda with me. Well, I think of the swagman camped under his tree, boiling his billy, drinking his tea. He whistles a tune to his favourite song. He stares in the old billabong, but the water is still reflecting the sky, the grey in his beard and a tear in his eye. For a life that's behind him will always remind him yesterday's no place to be, in the shade of a coolabah tree, while you're boiling your billy of tea and waltzing Matilda and singing your song and watching the sky in an old billabong and chasing a rainbow just to dance in the rain to wash away all of the pain. And the story will always remain of the swagman without a name. So come sit in the shade of a coolabah tree, cause yesterday surely is no place to be. The swagman that sits there just could have been me, and there's none so blind that cannot see. The jumbuck should always be free. You come a waltzing Matilda with me.
thank you so much for your time. You've been brilliant. I love you both,
and Thanks, Bill.
I cannot wait to see you guys back on the stage. Even if the stage is a carpeted floor, I don't care. You know what I mean? Wherever you can play, I'll be there because you're brilliant. And so's your music. And keep it up forever, guys, okay?
Thanks, Bill.
There you go, listeners. That is Mark Oates and Matty Zarb with their latest album. It's been out for a little while. And it's simply called Mark Oates and Matty Zarb.